I want to encourage you to find people that have been in your shoes before. The people that I did find that were able to make their marriage work, they said it will be the best marriage that you possibly will have. And they were right. And it was really, really hard for me to wrap my head around that when I was like, I hate him. There's no way, like getting divorced and all that stuff. So I had to tune out all of the negative chatter. And then I really had to own my role. I think we're really, really quick to throw in the towel and point the finger and place blame on someone else. But I took the time to take ownership. How was I showing up as a wife? How was I showing up in our relationship? How was I showing up when I was present with my husband? How was I showing up when we're on the couch together? I wasn't. I was looking back. I was really distant. I was disrespectful. I was caught up in my own world. My company was my life. That was the only thing that mattered.
Welcome back to the Better and Rich Show. Jenny Alday Townsend in the house. This is going to be a really, really fun conversation for you. Right off the bat, we go deep. We go deep right away where Jenny talks about being on the opposite end. For those of you that like Corey Carlson's episode, he talked about his experience with having infidelity challenges as the man in the relationship. And now Jenny's on the other end with her spouse having infidelity challenges in the relationship, and then how they were able to create common unity between the two of them, how they patched things up. But not only that, how she was able to leverage all the lessons from past and turn it into a multi seven-figure business. She has the Stroke It podcast. We talked a little bit about that and some of her products under the Stroke It Guide. I highly recommend you. I was a guest on her podcast as well. You could check out my episode there. But really, really cool things that Jenny is doing. Super like humble, down to earth, such a great human. I think you're really, really going to love Jenny and I's conversation. So Jenny Alday Townsend on the Better Than Rich Show. Get ready for another great episode.
Welcome to the Better Than Rich Show with your hosts, Andrew Biggs and Mike Abramowitz. The Better Than Rich Show helps ambitious leaders who are on a mission to leave the world better than they found it, change their perspective on what's important, increase their income and impact, and systemize their life and business. If you've ever struggled with finding your purpose, have felt disconnected or distracted, or found yourself going through the motions, this show will remind you that what you do matters and will re-inspire you to chase your highest dreams. It's time for you to become better than rich.
Welcome back to the Better Than Rich Show. I'm your host today, Mike Abramowitz, and I am here with Jenny Townsend. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to dive in, talk to all the business owners.
Well, you have such a cool brand. I mean, you have your hands in a lot of different things, but the Stroke It brand, when I first heard Stroke It, I didn't think much of it. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then like the second and third thought, I was like, what am I stroking? I really think it's clever. I love the way you own it. I love the way you're playing to this. But what I find so fascinating for most people that listen to our show, there's an unspoken for busy dadpreneurs and mompreneurs, these busy business owners, of like how their business adds pressure, tension, conflict in their roles in their marriage or in their roles as parents. And that's why I joined my tribe, Front Row Dads. And I'm a member of that brotherhood and a lot of members. We had like Alice Daly on the show with the Magic Mom community that she has. And a lot of people have their own community, but you have something really, really cool and unique that I want to hear from you starting right off the bat. These challenges as these mompreneurs, dadpreneurs, these busy professionals have in their marriages, why the hell do these people keep it unspoken? Why are they like ashamed to talk about the challenges that everyone, mostly everyone, is experiencing? But it's like, no, I got to make sure everything looks picture perfect on social media, or like whatever happens in private stays there. And let's just live with this tension. And then on average, the divorce rate's 7 years, right? Can you just kind of speak to this for, and you know, riff on that, whatever direction you want to go?
Yeah, definitely. First and foremost, I started my company in 2016, happily married, really excited to finally launch the dream business that I had been working on for several years. And several years into the business, it became my life. It became my love. It became my passion. And my husband was part of that plan. And he's the one that said, hey, quit your job, go for it, go follow your dream. And we developed a 1-3-5. And if you don't know what that is, it's where do you want to be in 1 year? Where do you want to be in 3 years? And where do you want to be in 5 years? And within year three unfortunately, my marriage broke. And that's because I was so focused on my career and so focused on the success of my company. My company was providing so much fulfillment. It was providing purpose. I was working for free. I would still be working for free if I could. I obviously cannot, but it just provided so much and it just became my life. And at that point, it also took over my marriage. So I discovered that my husband was having an affair with a coworker in year three of my company. And when we were talking, he was saying, oh, well, she was present. Oh, she was there. She listened to me. And I don't know how it came out, but essentially I said, oh, so she stroked you emotionally, mentally, and physically. So that was what inspired the whole stroke it concept. And I do think that a lot of business owners do struggle with balancing their career and like their business that they've put their life into and their life savings into, and they've risked so much to make happen. It takes a lot of guts and drive and grit to actually start your own business. And then when you do it, you fear failure. You fear losing everything you worked so hard for. So that just basically takes over and consumes your entire life. And you forget about all the other things that are going on. So it is a really, really unfortunate situation that happened. It's very, very common for individuals like business owners, entrepreneurs, but inner office affairs are super, super common too. So I was a statistic, and fortunately, I decided to take some time and take some ownership of that role. I was able to find forgiveness and make my marriage work. So the whole stroke it concept is really about the journey from discovery to recovery and how important the people are in your life and how important it is that you take note of them and you're present. And I've learned so much through the journey, and I don't wish this on anybody, but if you are listening and this is a situation that you're in, I want to encourage you to take ownership of your role and take some time before you make a decision.
Damn. Okay. So I didn't know the details of that. And I just wanted to say thank you for sharing with the audience and also creating a movement and a message around an unspoken topic. I knew it was a good topic and I knew it was like some vulnerable shit, but I didn't know the details of it. So thank you so much. Like, I felt my heart getting heavy as I was hearing this because I was like, oh shit, did I just like poke at something that I wasn't supposed to poke at? But then for you to say, you figured out a way to find forgiveness and you started, that's like kind of a birthplace of a brand that you are now adding value to the marketplace with. How might somebody do that? Like, how do you turn a really tough, like we had Corey Carlson on the podcast talking about, he was the person like your husband on this Flip the Script, and he had this head trash and he had a great conversation on the podcast from the guy's lens, and was able to come clean and find faith. And then his wife was able to find forgiveness. But now we almost like get a chance to flip the script on someone who went through it on the receiving end on how they found the forgiveness and is willing to help other people on that end. Can you just like riff on that? Because this is not every day I get a chance to have this conversation. So thank you for this.
First and foremost, you're welcome. And I think it's important to talk about it. When I started talking about it, I was talking about it because I wanted to find people that had been through the situation. I was not wanting to just air the dirty laundry. I wasn't wanting to be negative. I wasn't wanting to like bash my husband by any means. I was really just looking for people that had been in my shoes to where they can offer assistance, support, and guidance. Through that process, I found a lot of people that offered a lot of advice, but they hadn't been in my shoes. So they didn't know what I had to lose. They didn't know what I had to gain. So first and foremost, if you are experiencing this, I want to encourage you to find people that have been in your shoes before. The people that I did find that were able to make their marriage work, they said it will be the best marriage that you possibly will have. And they were right. And it was really, really hard for me to wrap my head around that when I was like, I hate him. There's no way, like getting divorced and all that stuff. So I had to tune out all of the negative chatter. And then I really had to own my role. I think we're really, really quick to throw in the towel and point the finger and place blame on someone else. But I took the time to take ownership. How was I showing up as a wife? How was I showing up in our relationship? How was I showing up when I was present with my husband? How was I showing up when we're on the couch together? I wasn't. I was looking back. I was really distant. I was disrespectful. I was caught up in my own world. My company was my life. That was the only thing that mattered. And if it came to going to a company function or hanging out with my family, my company won every single time. So I started just looking at my part and taking ownership of my role, my time, and how I was showing up. And through that process, I was able to take ownership and say I was sorry for what I did. So a lot of people don't take ownership. So I basically say I had an affair, but I had an affair with my career and my success and with my company. My husband involved another woman, which that is really, really hard to take in. It's very, very emotional. He had a whole emotional connection with them. They were in love and like he contemplated leaving and so deep, really deep relationship. And that had been going on for several years. I speculated it. I just didn't care enough to actually fight for my marriage. I was just like, whatever. So I'm glad that I took the time. I'm glad I took ownership. I'm glad I didn't blame him only and her only. So but there was a lot of heartache and pain. It was definitely not easy. I went through a lot of therapy. I started a journal, which then became my book, which then is the podcast. So I would just flip the switch and decided like, I'm going to create the life that I want and the person that I want it to be with. I also come from a divorced family. My mom had several affairs and my father could never find forgiveness. And he was filled with so much anger and still to this day is. And I did not want to become that. I want to have love and happiness and joy in my life. And I want to share my life with an amazing human being. And my husband is amazing. He's not a cheater. It's just circumstances, depression, drinking, void, and loneliness, really. But we are all past that. And I'm grateful to be where we are today and be able to inspire and help other individuals.
And getting past it is really, it's almost like getting through it. Like you went through the storm of what it was to get to where you are right now. I'm just so grateful that this is being shared because like you, my mom was married three times, my dad twice, my sister married twice, my brother married three times. So I come from that lineage. So my wife, when we started dating, that was a big concern for her. It's interesting because I was like broke as a joke when we started dating. Like I was negative $130,000 in debt, 400 credit score, near bankrupt, living in this shitty apartment, just got out of a 7-year relationship. And I'm like, you know, her mom lives in Ponte Vedra in Jacksonville in this $1 million home. And I'm like, I don't think I can give you the life you want, babe. Like, I don't know. So my concerns was, can I be a provider? And her concerns are like, are you going to F around and divorce? And we came in with like our own lens of possibility for what the relationship will or will not be because we had open communication, because we were willing to speak the unspoken about some of these things. We're together. We worked it out. And luckily, you know, she gets the better end of the stick now because now, you know, accredited investor, you know, she doesn't have to work anymore. You know, we're able to navigate the crazy life circumstances together. And if you have something that's good, we want to protect it. We want to work at it. But sometimes we're so blinded or distracted by everything else that we deem as a priority that there's neglect to something, relationships, our health. Sometimes it's neglect in the business. Sometimes it's neglect in something, some part of our life. What do you say to someone who maybe they see the symptoms like you saw? Like you saw you, like you said, you had some presumptuous notions. Like there was like, I have a feeling like something's going on, but you know, I don't really care enough to like go pry. I'm just going to stay over here. What would you say to someone that is sensing that right now? And with what you know now compared to what you thought you knew back then, what counsel do you say? Do you say, yeah, do the same thing I did until you get the business going and then, you know, figure it out down the line? Or do you interrupt the pattern right then and there? Like, what would you say?
I would say looking back, I wish I would have kept my marriage a priority the entire time. And I feel like there's challenges. And as you grow as individuals, like depending on when you got married, where I was, where my husband were, when we got married, we were completely different people. My business changed me. It changed me dramatically and at a really fast pace. Like when I met my husband, the real estate market had crashed. I was in the process of short selling my house. I was waiting tables. I mean, when I met him, he like checked all the boxes, had a good paying job. And I was like, okay, he's going to boost me up. Well, he still has a great paying job and he's still doing amazing things. However, I just like soared and I just outgrew myself and I kind of outgrew him and our marriage. So looking back, I wish I would have kept the marriage a priority, created time, created balance, and really understood what my husband needed as far as love and connection. I did not know that. We grew up in different households. We have different upbringings. How my parents showed us love and how his parents showed us love very differently. So I wish I would have focused on what it meant to love him first and foremost. And I think like if we would have had connection long-term, as far as like the signs, I saw them. I was aware of them. I had tons of speculations. I just was sick of fighting about it. I would question. And when you are told you were crazy over and over and over again, you start to think you're crazy. And then they become very defensive. And then it's just so much fighting. I didn't have energy to fight. I needed to put all my energy into growing my company so I could get it to $1 million and work 20 hours a week. That was the goal where I'm at currently right now. So I was really just goal-oriented and focused on that, not on the long-term, I guess, progress of my marriage.
Is that company Music Compound?
Yes.
Got it. So Music Compound was essentially who you were having an affair with on your end of it. And that affair led to $1 million+ business where you staff how many people?
So I have 42 team members currently, and we've got just under 500 members that come to our place on a weekly basis.
So you have 500 members, 500 people weekly that you're inspiring. You're provided jobs to dozens of humans over the course of the last few years. And I really love the context of what you said. He was having his affair and he was getting stroked, I think you said, by this human, but I was over here getting stroked by my business. Now, that argument might be like, well, I was doing something as a force for good for humanity and on capitalism is rocks. And I look at all the good that I did. But he, in his own mind, needed that. That's what he needed, the ego stroke or the emotional stroke or whatever, for him to be able to perform in his career. He needed to check that box. So it's really such an interesting, again, unspoken conversation, because too many people are just living quiet desperation, and they might do it in their mind. Maybe they don't act on it, but it's still that if there's something that is happening that is creating tension in the relationship, we might want to try to interrupt those patterns. And Jenny, you're doing some really good work here. Even talking about this. Anything else that you want to click on before I take a little bit of a pivot?
I do. I just wanted to share another silver lining is that when this happened, so I was working in my company every day, every night. I was working 60 hours a week, 7 days a week at times, all the time I was working. When this happened, I had to come off the hamster wheel, and I was forced immediately to get off that hamster wheel. And what that meant is I had to determine right then and there, do I want to focus on my company or do I want to focus on my marriage? And while I was deciding, I took a little hiatus. My team that was in place took my company from red to black. They just showed up in ways I didn't think they were capable of. I didn't know it was possible. I was holding my team back from growing, from creating systems in place. Like we had this guy, he automated my entire business. I was doing everything old school. He made everything new school. So I stepped out of my company and allowed these two individuals to take over. And they got me to making money where I was not making money previous. So the silver lining is sometimes you just need someone to come in and disrupt and rock your world and kind of disrupt the whole system and pull you out of your company. I will never go back into my company where I was. I will never work that many hours. I will never do all those events ever again. I have a team of people that are capable. I just needed to trust them. And it was really hard for me to trust and let go of the control of all of the tasks until I was forced to.
Ooh, all right. Perfect transition here, because that was the pivot I wanted to go to, because I'm in turmoil in some part of my life, relationship, health, whatever. And my business, I'm the only one who can do everything because I have the secret sauce. I'm the controller. But you, due to circumstances, you said, I'm going to find a way out of this. Let me install some operators. Let me install some talent, essentially, into the business and trust that they'll do it. Now, there's a cost with that. There's an investment, I should say, where I got to invest dollars into them. I got to make sure I probably have some sort of processes. And there's two types of people. There's like experts that are like been there, done that, that you want to install and you have to pay premium for that. And then there's followers that's like, follow me, I'll show you the way, and then you could eventually take over. So both of those have a different price tag on them. I want to hear from you with your expertise from what you did experience, what counsel you've offered to business operators to install another operator to become an owner. That's like our course. Actually, our course is called Operator to Owner that we have. Just riff on this, Jenny, because too many people wait for the circumstance. And if I'm hearing you, they don't have to wait for the circumstance. They could be intentional with this at any point in time, and they could create the type of life they want where they have the freedom to work 20 hours a week if they wanted to.
Yeah. So people come into your life to serve a purpose. You don't know what that purpose is always. Just like the other woman came into our life to serve a purpose, and that was to remind us what's important, to make our marriage better, and to basically give me an opportunity to step out of my company. Right before the discovery happened, I actually hired a gentleman that came to sell me photography and videography services. And when he came to do some filming, he was like, "Wait a minute, I think I want to work for your company." And in January, I hired him and I said, "I don't really know what you're going to do. I don't really have a role for you, but we'll figure it out. He just seems like a really great hire and I didn't want to let him go." He started on January 4th. February 8th is when I discovered what was happening with my husband. So 1 month later, this guy had a job, and thank God I hired him. I wasn't searching for him. He just came into my life and I didn't know why, but I didn't want the opportunity to pass me by. And he brought skills that I needed to grow the company and that I didn't even know I needed. So I would just say, like, if you are a business owner, always be looking for really great, talented people to add to your team. You don't know when you're going to need them, but you don't want to like need them and not have them or know their skill sets or where you could place them as well. So that was one of the ways that I was able to overcome this and trust. And like I said, he put our CRM in process. He revamped our website and there's so many great opportunities. And like I said, the other individual, she took on a lot of tasks. She actually created a full-time job for herself. She was only working part-time. So I would say if you're a business owner, be looking at your people, trusting your people, releasing control, and always be recruiting some really great A players.
Okay. I want to get in some tactical here for just a second. You're talking a lot of business owners here. What if someone hearing this says, "But my processes are a mess. Even if I found good talent, great, but they're going to come into a messy operation. And I don't feel like, I think it would be a waste of money for me to put a talented person into a messy operation because they might just leave because it's so messy." What might you say to that limiting belief or that false belief? Just curious on that one.
Well, can I say hire you? I think it's finding the right coaches and mentors. And I have surrounded myself with a lot of other business owners and I learn and grow from them. And I use a lot of the same companies that they use. So I'm part of different coaching platforms as well. Hiring people that can do some of the work has been really great. When that individual actually left my company when COVID started, he decided to go sell private jets. I had to outsource his entire role and I wasn't capable of doing it. So I had to outsource. And so that was one of the best things I did was start outsourcing. And it's just been a game changer for me. So I would say outsource what you don't have on your team to do and the funds will come. I will say that was another thing that was a game changer for me with running my company. I didn't put myself on payroll for the first 3 years. It wasn't until I was in the process of getting divorced and I needed a place to live and I was going to have to pay rent because I didn't pay myself. And I went walking on the beach with one of my teachers who's also a coach. And I said, "I just can't afford to pay myself. The company can't." And she said, "With that poor mindset, you're always going to be poor." A week later, I put myself on payroll and I've never had a problem paying myself. So where there's a will, there's a way. Source the programs, source the people to help you. You will find the money to fund it.
And as far as finding that money, is there like a magic place that this bank comes from? Or is this like SBA loans? Is this the bank of mom and dad, you know, find a sugar daddy that can help? If there were actual tangible strategies that you've seen your clients or students or even yourself that had to employ, because it's a scarcity play. I agree with you. But sometimes if the business is producing, let's say they're in the 10K to 50K in monthly recurring revenue, and there's dollars in, dollars out, and it has to come from somewhere, there is that scarcity play where it's like, buy back my time, which is, I love Dan Martell's book, where it's like, I got to spend dollars so I can get my time back. But if I don't spend my time to go make more dollars, then my business, I potentially will be out of money. Like, how do you offset the scarcity play there?
Yeah. So I've got three different options for you. First and foremost, yes, you can get an SBA loan. I got a $120,000 SBA loan to start my company. I also, when I was expanding, I went and got a line of credit for $50,000 because I thought I was going to need that. I never actually pulled on the $50,000 line of credit. The reason I didn't is because I really dived into what were my financial goals and I started dialing for dollars. I really started focusing on that top line item. How can we build the business? How many sales do we need? And I jumped right there in with my team and we hit those goals. Like we hit over the $1 million mark. It was like such an amazing point in our history of the company. Third is I always go back to the COVID model. The COVID model is trimming the fat, cutting the expenses, letting go of the people that you don't need that are not serving your bottom line, and stop doing things that are costing you money, not making you money.
Yeah, those audits are really telling, right? And I won't go in too much in the weeds here, but one of the things I did for my previous company is I was spending about $100,000 a year roughly, but the $100,000, a lot of it was on like marketing and advertising, which was good. But I said, gosh, I want time freedom. So I just replaced some of those dollars for talent, put more talent and team in place, was still spending the same amount of money. My margins were still good because I put the right people in place, but I had my time freedom. And that's how I was able to survive those 8.5 months in the hospital when our son was born, because I was intentional with hiring the talent, just spending the dollars, distributing those dollars a little bit differently. I think that's a really great practical audit that a business owner can do with their finances and also their time to say, okay, what are the revenue generating activities? What are the things that actually move the bottom line or the top line?
Yeah, 100%. I think getting really clear on your goals and having those expectations, like I love having a budget. I love having a monthly goal. And with my studio manager, it can be challenging for her because she's not an owner operator. She's running the studio. So she's a lot of other things that are on her plate, but I'm really shifting her into that growth mindset where we are building the business and her top priority is the bottom line, or I should say the top line for her because she doesn't have any control over the bottom line. Because when you own your own company, you're in charge of those expenses, not your employees. So yeah, I think just focusing on that and developing your people and having them buy into the mission is absolutely huge. And if they know your long-term goals, they're going to strive to meet those.
Now, here's a question. Your staff specifically, are any of them contractors or all of them employees?
So a large amount of our staff are subcontractors because cool. I contract them to teach the lessons and yep. to run the programs. I do have W-2 employees. So my front office team, W-2 employees, back of the office, back of the house, all of our teachers, 1099.
Perfect. So this is a great, great question because some of the members of our community get under the impression, they're under an illusion that because they're subcontractors, I cannot hold them to standards. I can't tell them what to do. I can't force them to do things because they're not technically employees, which is obviously bullshit if you could tell from my tone. But you said a team, you've maintained a team. I'm sure you have a thriving culture of some sorts inside your business if you're doing 7 figures plus. Can you just speak to that person right now real quick about how can you raise subcontractors in a healthy work environment, even if they're not employees?
Yes. I will say I kind of understand where, you know, some of the listeners and the other business owners are coming through. It can kind of be a little rocky situation at times. However, we contract them to teach. They are in charge of the approach, the curriculum, and whatever happens in those lessons rooms, they're in charge of. I don't mandate them to do anything. However, I do encourage them and inspire them to do certain techniques so that they can get their students performing because we are a performance-based music school. So I just basically outline, here are the goals, here are the needs, and these are the standards that we have. If you want to contract with us, you have to be in line with all of these functions and believing in the mission, showing up to certain meetings that we have, like roundtable discussions. And we've been able to create a really great culture. The subcontractors, I compensate them for planning. I also host coffee and conversation for our subcontractors. And that's where I pay them to come in and have a cup of coffee with each other where they can learn and grow and inspire each other. And they can create some kind of connection as well. So that's been a really great thing for our culture. And I also like reimburse them for certain things as well. But they just, I don't know, they just thrive with this environment. You know, if I did move them over to W-2s, it would probably be a little bit different as far as their compensation and what we would have to pay as well. And we'd have to charge such a substantial amount of money for our services, which would then I think equal less members, which would equal less people on their schedule. So I think they actually make more money because of the structure that we have them. And they fully believe in our mission, are happy to be there. And at the end of the day, I just have standards. And if you're going to be on my team, you got to be an A player and show up ready to rock.
Okay, so this is good. We're getting into the weeds a little bit, but this is so good. You're looking to hire 6 new key players for your organization per our conversation we had yesterday. And when you're going to be interviewing, onboarding, and training these individuals, because technically these are subcontractors too, right? These new key players. So if we're going to be enveloping them into a an already existing thriving culture, how do you make sure the new people are equipped to understand the expectations as they're coming into this new culture, even though they're like, oh, I'm a subcontractor, I have my independence, I can do whatever I want. At what point, what is the step-by-step process, the short version, of course, I'm sure we can get in a lot of the weeds here, but you're indoctrinating them, I'm assuming, from the start, first point of conversation into where they start fulfilling their duties and responsibilities. Just walk us through whatever your version of that would be, please.
Yeah. So first and foremost, it starts literally wherever we're recruiting them from. So whether it's in person or on Indeed, or if someone's just emailing me because someone gave them my email address, which happens all the time because everyone wants to work for our company, which is fantastic. But I always email them back and I always ask a couple different questions. The first and foremost question is, what skills do you have to offer to us? What do you want to learn while you're at our company? And third is, how can we contribute to the future? Your future, whether it's another career, whether we're a stepping stone or financially, or is it mentally, like what is it that you need or want to gain from us? And then I kind of go into the skill sets and I go from there. So I really want to know about their personal goals and them as a human, because we're all human and I care so deeply about the humans that work for our organization. And I want to make sure they're happy, they're having purpose in their life. Then we move on to the other things that require them to work with our own company. At that point in time, they get really connected to understanding what kind of leader I am. I don't know, they just buy in right then and there because I care about them. They're not just another teacher. They're just not another paycheck, even though I have to remember that I am that to them sometimes.
Yeah, this is really good. So if by leading with this framework, the questions framework of what can you do for us, but more importantly, what can we do for you? Is there alignment there between those two? And then it's like, great, let's hear a little bit about your skills. Okay, you're good at these things. Great. But what about inspire? You said inspire them to show up for coffee dates, inspiring them to want to be a part of a mission. Where does that come into play? Is that in the interview itself or where is that start?
It really is, honestly. So our tagline is to inspire, collaborate, and educate. So everything that we do within our company is along those three words. So we have awards that are structured with like inspirational all-star, rock star, collaboration. So I really lean into our mission and I want to make sure that they're leaning in and they connect with our mission as well. Our mission is why we do what we do and it's how we do it as well. We are so successful because we are very clear on our mission. We're very clear on our goal, which is to transform dreams into reality. And we're all speaking the same language. It doesn't matter if you're a W-2 employee or a subcontractor. At the end of the day, if you're coming to work for my company, you're buying into that mission and the future of the students, your future, my future, and the future of the whole entire company as a whole. It's very much team oriented. It's not like, hey, I'm just going to contract you for 1 or 2 days a week and you're going to leave. You are going to be part of this entire community to the fullest and as much as that you want to be.
I'm smiling so big because, gosh, this is so important. Listener, this is so important because it's not a job. This is not just an exchange. That's what prostitution is, right? It's like, yeah, you do this for me, right? Like, that's not what we're doing here. We're enrolling them into a mission, a culture, something that's bigger than just the task at hand. And that is influenced by the leader. Jenny is giving you a masterclass in real business leadership. Even if she's not the one interviewing them, because she's like only doing 20 hours a week, so she's probably not going to be the one interviewing them. But though the person who is interviewing has been indoctrinated in how to facilitate onboarding and hiring and training a new worker through this lens of these are the questions we ask. This is the mission that we want to make sure that they're understanding. These are our expectations. These are our standards. So, so good, Jenny. Before I take another pivot, anything else you want to click on for that? Because I have another direction I want to go.
Yeah, I just want to say that if they connect with your mission, they're going to connect with you and they're going to see themselves there long term, not just the short term. And as you know, it's one of the key ways of running a company is you need to retain your employees. And if they buy into the mission and the culture of it, they're going to want to work for you. And a lot of times they'll work for you at whatever you're offering them. They won't come in with like these high wage requirements and all of these other things that they need. They're going to just want to be part of your community. And that's the most important thing. People want to like where they work and they want to like the people they're working with. So that would be my advice, is lean into that and create a culture that rocks and you'll just grow constantly. Yeah.
Jenny, your empathetic, compassionate, soft approach, it's just so fascinating for me because I am like a little bit more on the intense side a lot. And I love the dynamic. I just want to draw that out to the listener that you have two entrepreneurs with different styles that can get the same outcome with their own different unique style. And I absolutely love that, this like little dynamic that I'm just observing as we're having a pitch and catch here.
And I want to lead into that and just say, I wasn't always like this as a leader. I will say that it took all the personal growth for me to get to where I'm at. When I first started my company, it was dialing for dollars. I was known as a bulldog. I was known as aggressive. I was like all the time, always be selling, right? And so it took a lot of personal growth and a lot of ownership of my own time and balance to get me to where I am this leader. And I mean, I've always been mission-driven. I've always come from that background. But I'm just saying to have more of the empathy for people and to really lean into the actual humans that are doing the work and altering my expectations of people has been huge game changer as well to get me where I'm at today. So I would say I've went through a lot of personal growth and development within the past 9 years to make me the leader that I am today.
That's cool. Are you a firewalker, Tony Robbins?
I am.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So that's a prerequisite, everyone. You got to go walk across fire. Here's my little pivot here, because a lot of individuals that follow our show, they also want what you have on the back end of this. You mentioned 20 hours a week where you get a chance to create, you created a business that is satisfying a mission. You also have time freedom. You have your marriage now that's patched up. You said things are great. So we're hitting on great relationship. You look really healthy as of right now. You got a thriving business. I know you also mentioned you have like a flywheel where you have another investment. You take the money from the business, you parked it into a laundromat, and then that laundromat makes more money as well. So like you're creating multiple streams of income. You have businesses that are run by operators. You have time freedom. If you want to hit on anything in there, just to give context on anything I missed, feel free to do so. But the question really is, what is on the other end of this? Now that you have this, now I would say you're time rich. You're better than rich. You have this time richness about you. Can you like describe what that's like for someone that is in the pursuit of getting to this place in life where you are? You're young. When I say young, you're not like 80 years old, 70 years old, sitting on your rocking chair. It's like, I'm finally free. I have time now, right? Like you're young, you're healthy, you have a lot of things in front of you. Can you just speak to that? What is that like? Describe the lifestyle. What is the cool shit that you find yourself doing that you're like, guys, it's worth it. You know, like to put in the hours, do the personal growth stuff. You get to experience blank.
I would say currently at the age of 42, I feel very free and I feel very fortunate and I'm filled with gratitude. It took a lot to get here and it's a really, really bumpy road, obviously with the debacle of my marriage, short selling a house. I was renting rooms in my house to rent.com, like to random people to pay my mortgage at one point. And so I feel just really grateful to be where I'm at. So I always say, work hard, play hard, but now it's more about playing hard. And I go and I do me first and foremost every morning. So I'm playing tennis, I'm working out, I'm walking the hill, I'm taking a walk with my husband, I'm doing breakfast with him as well. And I'm making sure I get all that quality time and filling up my cup to the fullest every single morning before I go and do all these other amazing things. I will say that everything that I've always done, I've always been passionate about it. And I've always focused on doing what I was passionate about and focusing on the money later and knowing the money will come later. I can just pick up and leave for 2 weeks and go and travel. I had a girlfriend I met that owns a music school. We met on Zoom during COVID. She's like, I'm going to go to Italy. You want to come to Italy? Booked a first class ticket and went to Italy for 10 days. My husband and I travel quarterly. I'm hoping next year I'm only working 2 weeks per month. So I don't know. I've just been able to pull it all together, but it came with a lot of sacrifices, taking a lot of risks and a lot of heartache and pain. But I'm grateful for it all because it got me where I am today. So if you are struggling, just keep going. And once again, just I always encourage people to take ownership of your life. You have one. Live it fully. Do what you want to do. Screw all of the expectations of everybody else and the Joneses and everything else. And just if you are fulfilled with yourself, you're just going to be a happier person, which at the end, if we had people like that, we'd have a much happier world, which would be a better place to live.
Hell yeah. Passionate causes, 26 weeks out of the year where, it's off. Passive income, covering expenses, freedom, mornings to chill, to do what you want. I mean, this is what we want for everyone, especially people of influence. If you're listening to the show, you're a person of influence because the good that you're going to do in the world is going to come on the other end of you satisfying this personal fulfillment. So it's a pursuit of this, but also you could have a version of what Jenny's talking about now. Maybe it's not taking 2 weeks up abruptly and flying first class across the world, but what might your version of that be to meet that person for lunch and pick up the tab, as a starting place, as an example? So really appreciate that wisdom, Jenny. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you that we didn't hit on that we need to hit on before I go into our final three questions and then have people, follow you all over the place?
Yeah, I would say when going back to just the culture with your company, one of the things that we have done is we've hosted an award ceremony every year to recognize all of our team players. At that award ceremony, we spend a lot of time in diving in and picking a word for the year for the company. So a few years ago, the word was quality. We leaned into that. We did a focus wheel. Everybody was talking about quality, appearance, lessons, conversations, people, and all of that, leaning into quality. And then we picked the word believe. We believe things are possible. We believe in our teachers. We believe in ourselves. So I would say if you're really wanting to create a culture that rocks, find a way to unite your team. And picking a word for the year for the company has been really a great thing for our team and creating the culture that rocks.
So good. So good. All right. So Jenny, we ask every guest three questions at the end of each episode. The first question is, what do you think the world needs most today?
Positive mental health. I just really think that if people were happier, we'd have less people on prescription drugs and less drinking and less depression. So I just think fulfillment and happiness is really what we need.
That's great. What are 1 to 2 books or 1 to 3 books that you think people should read?
So I'm going to go with The Buddha and the Badass. It's a really, really great book. I actually had a team member give me this book and it helps every single entrepreneur, business leader. It really talks about developing really great teams, but also developing yourself. And then I'm a huge fan of Jim Quick, Limitless. Follow him on social. You get lots of great tips and lots of screenshots so you can drop in your Slack channel to all your team members.
Very cool. Great. Those are 2 new ones in over 150 episodes. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. And last question is, what does it mean to you to be better than rich?
Better than rich? I've never really done anything for money. So I just always want to be good, just as a good human and do good things for other people and good things for myself. I've never really focused on being rich. I mean, it sounds great. I want to be rich in all aspects of my life when it comes to financially, but I already feel like I'm rich just because I'm getting to live my dream and I get to choose what I want to do every single day.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that she didn't say is she said she's 42. She probably looks like she's 24, maybe. So I had no idea. And that's why I'm never guessed the age. But 24-year-old looking Jenny on our podcast really crushed it today. So thank you so much. I'm sure people are going to want to stay in touch with you and just keep things going. I know you have your podcast and you have your book coming out April 2024. Where can people go? Where can people listen to you? Where can people find you? Please.
So The Stroke It Guide is my podcast. That's really where I would love for you to visit and download it. We offer great tips and tricks and resources. I offer quickies on Tuesdays, and that's just one concept, 10 to 20 minutes or less, something you can implement in your life that's going to change it personally or professionally. On Thursdays, I have guest episodes where they bring their framework, their resources and experiences to the listeners as well. And once again, it's all for personal and professional development. So if you're a leader, a CEO, a manager, a middle manager, you're going to benefit from this podcast. And it's going to really encourage you to lean into your own life, take ownership of your time, and really just rock the life that you want to live.
The Stroke It Guide.
Yes. And you can just go to my website and if you want to check out for music lessons too, musiccompound.com is my website for my music school. But JennyAldayTownsend.com, Alday has one L. And my podcast is there. Lots of great resources. And a lot of things that I mentioned today are also listed on my website.
Great. So if you want a quickie, go hit up Jenny. If you want to stroke it, hit up Jenny. I love the play. I mean, it's so clever. It's so catchy. It's so funny. So really, really great stuff there. Jenny, thank you again for your time, your willingness to share. Listener, thank you. I mean, we obviously bring as many great guests as we possibly can to you each week. So thanks for tuning in. I know I've been saying this at the end of each episode because we're going through that rebrand from Better Than Rich to Time Rich. So if you see any communication from Time Rich, that is us. And the reason why is because, frankly, everything that Jenny shared today is exactly what we want for you. Someone that has the time richness, boundaries in your life, communication guidelines with your staff, systems for your business, you have playbooks for your business, you have team installed, you have technology installed, everything that creates predictability in your life so you can have that time freedom to invest the time what matters most to you. If you need any support with that, as many of you know, I'm doing free 90-day delegation planning sessions right now. You could go to betterthanrich.com/90-day plan. I'll hop on with you for 30, 40 minutes and just figure out where are all the areas of opportunity for you to offload the bottom 20% so that way you could spend time on the top 20%. So if that could be of help, I've been doing those this year so far. It's bringing me a lot of energy and it's a lot of fun. So Jenny, again, thank you so much for inspiring our audience and really excited for our next conversation. So till next time, leave today better than you found it. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the show, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from us, you can follow us on Instagram @betterthan_rich and join our Facebook group @TheBetterThanRichShow. Thanks again for listening. We look forward to seeing you next time. And remember, leave today better than you found it.